The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello? It's live and local every Saturday morning from 9 in the morning until noon on this radio station, 99.1 KKFT and 92.3 KSLV. Did I get it right?
KSVL.
Oh, KSVL. Yeah.
You almost got
coming up in like 25 minutes, Joe Dutra, Reno's candy man from Kibbe Candy, is going to be in the studio with us. I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs.
That's right. And right now it is time. We've been teasing it all morning long. The event's going to be here soon. So it is time now for us to go ahead and check in with our own Jerry Evans. He's going to be talking right now with Gray Thornton from the Sheep Show. Jerry?
After the weather, the road conditions, and the power outages that we've been having, you might be looking for something fun to do that you can plan for this upcoming weekend. It's the Wild Sheep Foundation's 46th Annual Convention and Expo. It will be at the Convention Center this upcoming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Gray Thornton is the president and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation, and he joins us now to talk about the show.
It's going to be great. We're looking forward to the show this week in Reno. Another big one. And Jerry, the 2023 Sheep Show Convention is looking like it's going to be a barn burner.
It's the 46th annual, and we'll get into the details of that. But I always like to do this first. Did you fill any tags last year?
Well, unlike you, Mr. Sheep Hunter, and congratulations. We're really, really excited for that. Many, many years of applying.
Oh, my gosh. And I have to tell you, I had always heard that sheep hunting, it's not hard to kill them, it's hard to find them. And my son and I found that to be the exact opposite. And as I said in the little blurb that I wrote for the Wild Sheep Foundation, NDAL, NBU, Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, and the Wild Sheep Foundation, you all deserve a big thank you for the hard work that you guys have been doing, because that particular unit in Nevada, 068, and the California Bighorn Sheep, it's a great population and it's well managed. And I had such a blast hunting sheep. I've hunted just about everything else on the planet. I had never hunted bighorn sheep, and it is fun. It's fun when you see them. It was easy to find them, or at least you could find them every day. It was the getting to them, as you know, it's a challenge, because they're typically up there, you're down here, or it's vice versa. You're down at the bottom of the mountain, and they're up at the top. But what a blast we had. That is fun, and I can't wait for my next sheep hunt. Is we get to that point here in Nevada where you're at 16, 17, 18 points or so, you can pretty much count on getting one, depending on how particular you are, sometime in the next couple of years. So my next sheep hunt, I can't wait. If I can, one last thing. The one big takeaway that I found on this hunt is make friends. Volunteer to help your friends with tags, and then that will hopefully come back around to you, because it is so much easier if you have a team of people helping you sheep hunt. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Let's talk about the upcoming show.
Well, and a great way to segue into the sheep show is a huge shout out to the Nevada Department of Wildlife for their exceptional work. Nevada Bighorns Unlimited, Fraternity of Desert Bighorn, Elko Bighorns Unlimited, Midas Bighorns Unlimited, have just done an exceptional job working with NDAL on bringing sheep population back. And Jerry, you and I've chatted about this, and you know it, but back in the 1960s, 1970s, Nevada only had a remnant population of bighorn sheep. And what does remnant mean? Less than 1,000. Now Nevada, because of the work of these great organizations, superb leadership and efforts from NDAL and their biologists and their staff, Nevada boasts more bighorn sheep than any other state in the lower 48. So well done. Nevada's got about 12, 13,000 bighorn sheep, both bighorn, desert bighorn, California bighorn. And it's just the great work of NDAL, great work of the people of Nevada, and the great work of the organizations getting together and raising money to put and keep sheep on the mountain. And that's what we're talking about. We've got the annual Wild Sheep Foundation Sheep Show Convention coming up January 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center and the Peppermill Hotel. Jerry, we've got wall-to-wall exhibits there in the Reno Sparks. We are using all three halls, one, two, and three for exhibits, and then hall four we use for our youth wildlife conservation experience. But a fabulous show, open to the public, and there's just everything for the sportsman and sportswoman at that show.
Let's get into a little more detail on that. Let's start at the end and work our way backwards, and that's the all the stuff that you do for the children in the area, the youth, and you get them in there and you get them exposed to a little bow hunting and a bow shooting, I should say, and some of the outdoor skills there. Lots of fun educational activities. Any teacher in particular listening to this that hasn't taken advantage of that in the past, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to contact Ryan Brock. He is an educator in the Reno area, and he's our youth conservation coordinator and youth programs coordinator. And he schedules classes on Thursday and Friday to come from the Reno Sparks and Carson areas. And then Saturday, he opens up the youth wildlife conservation experience to anyone. So mom, dad, bring your kids down to the show. It's free, the youth wildlife conservation experience. They can learn fly tying, archery, game calling, kayaking, rock climbing, BB gun shooting, just about anything that they'd like to do. Great family fun, and it'll be happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Saturday, Jerry, is the day that it's open to the public. Ryan will have schools that have pre-registered. He will bus them in on Thursday and Friday. But we've been doing this for about a decade. A fabulous event for the kids and fabulous event for parents as well.
But that's a great weekend to get the kids out of the house if you've had a little bit of that cabin fever and get them out there and get them to experience some of the outdoor stuff that you guys do and do so well. So thank you for that. Now, what about for the adults exhibitors? You guys have got all three halls filled this time. More exhibitors? And what kind of exhibitors are coming?
We have, Jerry, we've increased the count by about 20%. You know, we've gotten through the pandemic and some of the limitations that caused. But we've got, for sure, the finest guides and outfitters from all over North America and the world for not only sheep hunting trips, but fishing trips, horse packing trips, deer, elk hunting, whitetail hunting, European trips, African safaris, just about anything you could be interested in going on. We're going to have just absolute wonderful exhibitors there to speak with you and you know, have you check out their wares and book some hunts and trips and fishing trips. We've got gear, firearms, archery, backpacks, optics, taxidermists, jewelers, furriers, just anything that the sportsmen and sportswomen would be interested is there at the Sheep Show, January 12th through 14th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. We always have some of the most incredible raffles that you can enter into, and it beats your odds in the state draws. We always have 4 to 5 to 6 sheep hunts on raffle, and we do again this year. We've got elk hunts, we've got moose hunts, we've got bear hunts. We'll have our less than one club reception. It's a beer reception on Friday, and we'll have about 1,500 people in the room. The less than one club is a club for those that have not yet taken a wild sheep ram. You join the club for $25. The beer reception's $20, and all you can drink Blue Moon beer. And we are giving away, Jerry, 4 sheep hunts this year. 3 doll sheep and 1 desert sheep hunt to some lucky guy or gal that hasn't yet taken a ram. So that's going to be fun.
I was just going to brag and say, well, I don't need to go to that anymore, but then again, those guys have a great opportunity that I won't have this year. I just had to get a little bit of bragging in there.
Well, you deserve so. I was so tickled when I got that text from you this fall when you said, "Hey, I got kicked out of the Less Than One Club." So we were so thrilled for you. Yeah, it's the only club you join and you hope you get kicked out of because you take a ramp. Well, you know, we've got some new things this year, Jerry, that I'm really excited about. We have moved our Ram Awards breakfast on Friday. That's normally at the Peppermill, and you have to buy a ticket. And we have moved it to be a free lunch on Thursday. So come to the show, and you could have lunch on us at the Ram Awards luncheon. They're in the Mount Rose Ballroom of the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Some lucky attendee for coming and getting a free lunch will also win a oddad hunt, free range oddad hunt in Texas with High West Outfitters. So come to the awards presentation. You'll see all the big sheep that were taken during the last year. You get a free lunch. We'll have some cash bars in there, and you just might win an oddad hunt. So. Not bad.
It sounds
another
like
a new thing that we've done.
That's cool. Lots of opportunities to win hunts, including if you just attend with paid admission, you get entered into the drawing, the daily drawings, to up to a $5,000 credit to use with an outfitter or an exhibitor.
You bet. Just your admission ticket. And again, admission is open to the public. It's only $25, and you can get a $5 off coupon at area sporting goods stores there in Reno Sparks and also in Sacramento. But every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we give away what we call floor credits. On Thursday, we're going to pull five lucky winners for a $1,000 floor credit that they can use with show exhibitors. On Friday, we'll draw two $2,500 floor credits. And Jerry, as you pointed out, Saturday, we're going to draw a winner of $5,000 in floor credit that you can run around the show and spend $5,000 on us. So a pretty nice deal for just a $25 entry fee.
Lots of opportunities to win, a hunting trip of a lifetime, and lots of other stuff. Lots of exhibitors, all things for kids, all things for adults, and all things for sheep, and putting sheep back on the mountain is what the Wild Sheep Foundation does. Gray Thornton is the president and CEO. And again, the 46th annual convention and expo will be in Reno January 12th through the 14th. Gray Thornton is our guest with the Wild Sheep Foundation. He's got a big announcement about a big project coming up in Northern Nevada and more about the show coming up. We'll be right back.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
Welcome back, and Gray Thornton, the president and CEO of the Wild Sheep Foundation, is our guest. The show is coming up at the Reno Sparks Convention Center this weekend. And if you want to get a complete schedule of events, pre-registration, and other details available at wildsheepfoundation.org. You can also participate in any online auctions.
Jerry, you know, as we've gotten through the pandemic, we hate to use the virtual world word, but if you can't make it to the show, you still can participate in our evening programs. And you go to our website, wildsheepfoundation.org, wildsheepfoundation.org, and click on our convention page and auctions page. And starting at about 6:30 or so, 7 o'clock every night, actually Wednesday the 11th through Saturday the 14th, you can watch our evening programs and register to bid online for our auctions that are held Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday there at the Peppermill. And we've been doing the online auctions since 2012. You know, we want you to be at the show, but if you can't make it, well, you can see our evening programs, and that'll include a lot of the entertainment, plus the auctions. And speaking of entertainment, you want to join us on Wednesday night. We've got a unbelievable guitarist and Nashville fiddlist, Jimmy Herman, that's going to be on stage. So just going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of excitement planned for the Sheep Show. And one other thing for those that have a culinary interest, Jerry, We have this year, it's new, the Camp Chef Culinary Corner. And there in Hall 3 of the Expo Hall, we brought in an executive chef from South Texas, Josh Schwanke. And he is going to be doing daily demonstrations, little micro courses on how to butcher game, how to prepare wild game, how to cut an onion properly. He'll be giving away samples, and he'll do that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday there in the convention hall. So absolutely something for everyone at the Sheep Show.
Yeah, good stuff. And after the weather we've had, it'll be a good time for everybody to get out and get some of that outdoors during the winter right inside at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. All right, once again, January 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. Gray Thornton is the president and CEO. Before I let you go, Gray, let's bring it back home to Nevada and the projects that you've done in Nevada with the Wild Sheep Foundation, probably in cooperation with the Nevada Bighorns and Endow.
You bet. NBU and Fraternity of Desert Bighorn and Endow, fantastic partners of Wild Sheep Foundation. We're always working and supporting them on developing and maintaining the water projects and guzzlers that they've put out. We have been doing some exciting trap and transplants, and we've got a new initiative, Jerry, that we're working up in northern Nevada. We're calling it ION, and it's for Idaho, Oregon, and Nevada, and it's a partnership with the three states to rebuild bighorn sheep populations up in the north part of the state. So a big project. Wild Sheep Foundation's put in about $250,000 into this over the years. And we're excited to continue to do great things with our partners in Nevada for wild sheep. So come out to the Sheep Show, support our auctions. We're going to put the money back on the ground, not only in Nevada, but around North America and the world to keep this great, great, iconic species on the mountain.
Great. Gray, one more time. I started with this, but I didn't get you to finish up on it. And not to brag, but I did fill a elk tag in Idaho at the beginning of December. Did you fill any tags last year?
Well, I drew a real nice elk tag. I drew a pronghorn tag. I took a nice pronghorn with my wife, as did she, on a fun hunt in East Montana. And then I had a fabulous elk tag that I did not fill, so I kind of got tag soup. I passed on a pretty decent bull, Jerry, on a solo hunt. It was about 8 degrees.
Boom.
I was alone. It was 15 minutes before the end of shooting light. Freezing cold, and I thought, you know, I've got Thanksgiving weekend that I can come back and hunt. Do I really want to pull the trigger right now and spend the next 3 hours dealing with this elk while I can't even feel my feet and my hands? And so I passed on them, and you know what happens when you do that. You may go home at the end, and that's what I did.
But you know the saying, never pass up on the first day what you'd take on the last. But I'm sure you had fun hunting. And
that's the truth.
Yeah, well, listen, Gray Thornton, good to have you back in Reno. Come for the sheep and stay for the party is a theme. It's January 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. The Wild Sheep Foundation Hunting Expo and Convention. Great fun for everybody from the children all the way up to the grandparents. Let me ask you a quick question real quick. Here's something somebody may be considering. My son said to me, Christmas, Dad, before you get too old, we need to do an Alaskan Yukon moose hunt, a fly-in trip before you get too old. How'd you like that? Outfitters from Alaska, moose hunting. If that's on somebody's bucket list, they want to do that, an outfitter will be there, at least one. Okay.
We've got plenty. We got from Alaska, Yukon Territory, and Northwest Territory. So, And also some B.C., British Columbia moose hunt. So you bet. We've got moose, deer, elk, antelope, fishing trips, just about everything you'd want to enjoy.
All right. We look forward to seeing you there. And again, thanks for coming back to Reno. Can't wait for the Wild Sheep Foundation and the show coming up this upcoming weekend here in Reno at the Reno Sparks Convention Center. One more time on the website if you can't be there and you want to participate online.
Go to wildsheepfoundation.org, wildsheepfoundation.org.
Well, that should be a pretty interesting show. Thank you very much from, of course, Gray Thornton and our own Jerry Evans, the owner of KKFT 99.1 and 92.3 for that segment. So, John,
we'll be back with Joe Dutra of Kimmy Candy. We're going to break for Fox News. John Potter and Jay Biggs at 99.1 FM Talk.
And Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It is live and it is local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. You want to know how I know it's going to be a good interview, John? It's because
he
we're
brought
talking...
bags of candy.
Well, no, 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 no. It's because we're in here just having conversation, talking away, and not even caring the fact that we have to go on the radio eventually. We're just having good conversation.
Reno's candy man and also world traveler Joe Dutra, owner of Kimmy Candy.
You know, you even if you don't think you know Kimmy Candies, you do know Kimmy Candies. Now, one of the things that's the most, at least, mentionable, I would say, products that I know of Kimmy Candies before even knowing that they came from Kimmy Candies was all the souvenir, like silver nugget candies that you can find in the Nevada silver nugget candies or chocolate-covered silver or whatever. Not chocolate-covered silver, but...
Choco Rocks.
Choco Rocks. There we go. So those are the one thing for sure that I always knew about Kimmy Candies that I did not know you guys made. And those are distributed all over the world and even in different colors. And, of course, the Choco Rocks are right here in their chocolate chunk form, but not in the silver form like the Nevada ones. But tell us, Joe, what's new? You guys got a brand new facility, right?
Well, it's been since 2017. We moved from the one that was on Reactor Way over to Edison and Jewel, and that tripled the size of the factory. And then what's new is we just purchased another company that now is working, or they had been working with nutraceuticals. So we have candies now for kids and adults that have multivitamins and melatonin for sleep and and energy. And there's a lot of fun stuff that we're doing. Good Day Chocolates is our newest acquisition.
You're going to start chocolate coating the Flintstones vitamins?
but we have it, but ours is better, right?
Oh, there you
go. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Are you considering chocolate cannabis? I mean,
we've been approached, but now at this point, there's too much confusion in the market. You know, you're finding now there's more and more kids that are, you know, being affected by eating their parents' candy supply.
So, right.
Yeah. But anyway, the candy industry is fine with people, you know, doing, you know, marijuana in their candy, but they don't want it to look like candy. And that's the big issue, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because we don't want to have some kid, you know, all of a sudden, you know, be sick or.
Yeah.
So there's a big pushback from the candy industry that you can have those, but just don't make them look like candy.
Yeah. I felt they
Fair
took
enough.
Away my candy cigarettes
yeah.
when I was a kid.
I love those.
Just too much. Now, how did it all begin? I never have asked you that before. How did Kimmy Candy begin?
Oh,
was
gosh.
Your interest always candy from the beginning?
Oh, no. So I was a farmer in Sacramento, California, and I lent a friend of mine some money, and he always wanted to pay me back. And I learned a long time ago when I lived in the Middle East, you don't lend money to your friends. You give it to them, because if you can't afford to get it back, then they won't be your friends in the future.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Lose your money and your friends.
That's right. And so that's even worse, to lose your friends. So he wanted to pay me back, and he one day walked into the ranch, and he had a five-pound bag of candy-coated chocolate-covered sunflower kernels. And he says, there's a container of this sitting in port in Oakland, and if you buy it, I'll sell it, and then I'll pay you back the money that for the candy and then the money for that you lent me, and then anything after that we'll split. And then I said, fantastic. What a great deal. I says, you can sell candy. And he says, oh, shoot, I can sell anything. And I said, great. So I buy 40,000 pounds of candy, put it on the ranch. It's like October in Sacramento, so it's cool. And I forget about it. And then into February, it starts warming up in Sacramento. And I go out there and look in the container. There's, you know, 39,990 pounds. And I've probably eaten 10 pounds myself, right?
Right.
So I call him up and I said, what's going on? Where are you going to sell the candy? He goes, Joe, it's the worst business in the world. It's a good old boy network, you know, that's controlled by Mars and Hershey's. And,
oh, God.
And he goes, I have no idea what we're going to do. And so... After a few cocktails one night, I started reading books and everything, and I read one book called The Emperors of Chocolate, if you ever want to read an amazing book about the candy industry. And it's about how Hershey's and Mars and how they failed and, you know, how they started again.
Okay.
And anyway, I said, to my wife at that time. I said, I'm going to start a candy manufacturing company from scratch, and I'm going to be just like Mars. And she said, you're nuts. You're a farmer. And I said, but this is America. We can do anything in America. And she goes, well, you're still crazy. And now 20 years later, I sit on the board of trustees of the National Confectioners Association with the guys that run Mars and Hershey's and Ferrero.
Now, you moved out of California, like so many others. You mentioned Sacramento. And that exodus from California, they say, really picked up in 2021. But you were ahead of the game. You left California to come to Reno before that. Why did you leave?
Well, because one thing was, when I first started Kimmy Candy in 2000, we had offshore manufacturing in Busan, Korea. And so I didn't really have a factory or anything at that time, just the ranch. And then what I decided is I started to look at probably putting a little manufacturing facility in Sacramento, and the bureaucracy was nuts. You know, it was like you had to have all this environmental stuff, and you got to do this and this and this, and then workman's comp. And I started looking at it, and I said, well, gosh, I just can't make it something like this work when I'm trying to start a new business. So I looked at Reno, came up here, had some amazing people I met, and felt so welcomed that I bought a building in 2005, and I built it out over the next couple of years. In 2008, I moved all the manufacturing from Korea to the United States and brought my candy maker that was over in Korea. And, you know, he's got his own success story. Uen Jung, you know, started Sushi Minato over here. And so he's got his own 30 people that are working for
him.
And
did California try to keep you?
They did. I actually got a call. I actually got a call from Arnold Schwarzenegger's office, I think, at that time. And he said, well, we'll lower your workman's comp by 20%. And I said, you're still not even close to what the workman's comp.
I'm surprised that they just didn't say, Will you be back?
So Reno is the third most popular city for companies leaving California. Nevada is fourth after Texas, Tennessee, Arizona. Did you consider any one of those?
Yes, I was one signature away from starting a factory in El Paso, Texas. And then what happened was in El Paso, the company I was working with, they got bought up by somebody, and then all of a sudden, it just went sideways. And then I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm gonna look closer to home. And that's because Reno was number one. El Paso gave me a better deal. But when I ended up looking at what was going on with them and the company, I decided that Reno was going to be my new home.
Well, California's lost Oracle, Tesla, not only the big companies, though, but also the small, fast-growing companies like yours. Some of these companies could become the next Google or Microsoft. What the heck are they thinking? They're losing big time in the future because these small companies could really grow into something. So I guess we should be happy here.
Oh, yeah. Well, the old-timers are not happy because of the growth and then the value of homes going up out of sight because it was not.
What do you say to them?
Well, it's like everything in a culture and
just
a society.
Deal with it.
Yeah, it's just it all changes over time. Right. Farmers were the worst because we would start farms in the 1800s, and then all of a sudden somebody would build a little housing development. You go, my gosh, look at, I can see that housing development from my ranch, and then pretty soon, when farmers get older, they want to sell off their ranches so that they can retire. And then people start complaining, well, you shouldn't sell off your ranch because you're going to ruin my view if people put houses out there. And then the whole story is, well, you ruined my view, 50 years ago. So, live up to it. Oh,
unless it's like Harris Ranch, man, they ruined that whole view over there and just built everything in the front of that.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, farmers don't make, they make money, but they don't make really money until they quit. And then they sell a ranch that they bought for $100 an acre, and they can now sell it for $10,000 an acre, and that becomes their inheritance.
And you've expanded now to, Abu Dhabi? Or what were you doing out there?
Well, I ended up deciding that I needed to have an off, because, I have another company, which is Westech, which is a large exporter of seed, non-GMO corn and alfalfa seed into the Middle East. My big markets are Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Libya. And the UAE, I started to get involved with some companies there. And then I decided to open up an office in Abu Dhabi, which I've done. And now I'm just going through the final, I got one more set of documents I got to fly over and sign, and then I'm actually up and running in Abu Dhabi. I rented an office, which, you know, we think that, you know, some places are cheaper than others. This place looks over the Gulf. It's a small office, probably about as big as your studio here, $300 a month.
Boy,
and that includes everything. It includes Wi-Fi, a girl at the front desk, and it's just amazing.
You know, I'm always looking for another country to possibly retire in, and I never see Abu Dhabi or Dubai show up on the list.
Dubai won't.
Of good places for Americans to expatriate to.
I don't even know if Bill Gates could retire in Dubai.
Yeah.
It's expensive. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have business in Qatar? Do you do stuff over there?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
UAE is, you know, of course, that's made up of seven Emirates, and so, but Abu Dhabi and Dubai are the two main ones. The king lives in Abu Dhabi, and then and they're more of a oil country. You know, the Abu Dhabians get, you know, a really great allowance from the government every month. So if you were in Abu Dhabi, and you'd probably get about $15,000 a month from oil money. But Dubai is a little different. You know, Dubai has become a banking center, a business center. They've got the biggest of everything, right?
How do they treat you as an American out there?
Oh, really? Well, I mean, you know, most of the people speak English. You know, all the banking companies speak English. And so, and they treat you amazingly well because, you know, we're part of an international. It's changed. You know, I used to live in Saudi Arabia in the 80s, and that was very iffy. But, you know, it's still iffy. Yeah. But there's a big difference in the culture because since Dubai and Abu Dhabi became more international, you know, they're really, you know, updating everything. So.
Well, let's talk about the candy, my man. What besides the chalk rocks do you have on your line?
So our main lines that we sell nationally are Choco Rocks and Sunburst. The Sunburst are the candy-coated chocolate-covered sunflower kernels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're in a, probably about 15 or 20,000 locations now across the United States. So you can find our candy in a lot of different locations. And so we're really fortunate, and we're growing. We're a big topping company. The Choco Rocks are like the top 13 toppings in the United States.
Where do you sell your candy in town?
So in town, see, this is what's always the funniest thing. So a lot of people don't know about Kimmy Candy because it was never a market for us. You know, our markets were L.A. and New York and San Francisco, and so we kind of forgot about Reno for a lot of, you know, unfortunately, that's the way it worked for many, many years. And that's why some people say, well, you know, I've seen your candy, but I didn't know you were even in Reno, Nevada. So, you know, places that are, you know, Flag Store. I mean, you can go to Whole Foods and buy Good Day products there, and you can go to Raley's and buy
Good Day. And you bought Good Day.
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, we're in stuff like Hobby Lobbies, and we're in Cracker Barrels and those places that are kind of different. And then we sell through distributors. And so we might be in a ton of different locations here, but we don't know because we don't sell direct, except to the big retailers.
But you can actually send now, because when I went to your retail or to your factory before, you had retail in the front.
We do, and now we have a new shop called KC's Best of the West. Or, you know, I see you have my logo on your cap.
Oh,
yeah, of course,
Kansas City.
That's right. But it also stands for Kimmy Candy.
Yes.
So KC's Best of the West is basically with a lot of the West Coast manufacturers. And so we have things like Jelly Belly and Instrum's Chocolate.
Oh, wow.
And really fun stuff in there, as well as about 18 of our own products. Because we're doing stuff, like John said, we're doing, you know, dark chocolate covered pistachios and espresso beans and
tons of different kinds of things. Yeah. I noticed when I was there, of course it's been a few years, but when I was there you guys had like bins full of the different kinds of candies and you could do like a bulk. Right.
Right. And then you can also just come in and eat candy and check out what you like for free, because we don't charge for that. And then we're doing a new video, so you'll be able to see how all the candy's made in the factory. So you can always come in and ask to watch the video, all how we produce all our candies. And then
and the tours are gone, though.
And the factory tours are gone, except we do it now for like golden ticket winners and for charities and for wonderful, really old
You're
ladies.
You're doing the golden ticket, huh?
I like that.
And you have an outfit now that you wear.
I do.
You?
I actually have a Willy Wonka outfit I had made. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And you do a golden ticket.
We're doing golden tickets for people that want to, you know, say like, there's a charity or something.
And, oh, okay.
And so what'll happen is that we'll give that as a prize, and then you can bring those people in. They can eat all the candy they want. We give them something to go with. And then I walk them through the factory, and they get to get a personal tour.
That's really fun. That is really fun. Well, so what is the address to this brand-new facility so people can go and check it out, or the Best in the West place?
It's 405 Edison Way. So it's right next to the William Pennington Technologies TMCC campus and on Jewel, and it's also next to the Pepsi bottling plant across from the ATC.
Yeah, that's pretty close to the NV Energy, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that whole development over there is NV Energy because we're on Edison and Jewel. We used to be on energy and reactor. So every road is a bit of energy.
I guess so. Well, at least there's some positive energy.
Stayed on.
I do have a couple quick questions for you here. One, do you have sugar-free items?
We're just developing a new sugar-free product line. Yeah,
okay. That's been the whole thing this morning. I was talking about how much unfortunately for me, because I'm type 2 diabetic, it's been one of those things where I'm like, okay, this year is the year I'm not going to eat any sugar, or at least I shouldn't. And of course, I'm already starting off the year eating sugar.
So I had
to ask if you had sugar-free stuff. The last thing I'm going to ask you is that your ex-wife's name, Kimmy? Is that how you came up? Where did you come up with this name, Kimmy? Because I was thinking to myself, if that's an ex-wife, how awkward is it now for the new wife or anything?
Well, no, it was actually at that time when I started the candy company, I had a vegetable seed company, a little vegetable seed company. We produced hybrid vegetables, you know, like cucumbers. And so what happened was, is it's very difficult to find new names because, you know, vegetables have been around forever. So at the bar, there was a girl that was involved in the very first import of this candy, and her name was Kim. And so I was going to call it Give Me Candy, like Give Me Candy. That was going to be the name of the company. And so I went in, and I drank a few martinis one night, and I said, okay, I'm going to call it Give Me Candy. And she said, you name all the vegetables after your friends. Name the candy company after me. And I said, Gimme, Kimmy, Kimmy Candy Company. And that became the candy company. And then I realized the next morning I woke up with my wife at that time and I said, oh my God, I should name it after you, sweetheart. And she goes, oh, Joe, it won't go anywhere anyway, so don't worry about it.
Wow.
And now, I'm no longer married to her.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Look at you now.
Yes. Hopefully you got rid of her before you got, got all the riches.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's been an honor to talk to you again.
It has. Our pleasure. This has been fun. Do you keep in contact with Kimmy? No, she disappeared.
She disappeared. I never saw her again. So after about
there's a woman out there named Kimmy somewhere that a candy company was made after. She has no clue. That's interesting. Joe, it's been a pleasure, sir.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you so much, and best of luck on all your future endeavors with stuff, and we'll have you back on sometime
as
well.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
That'd be great. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a little bit of more time here to talk before the end of the show, so make sure you come back and talk to us if you want to call us, 775-884-9910. It's Live and Local with John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
92.3 is FM Talk. There
is a house in this is local on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. If you missed any of this program, don't forget you can go to 991fmtalk.com, click the contact dropdown, and right there is the podcast tab. And you can click that, and it's hours 1, 2, and 3 for this day where you can check out this episode and retro episodes as well.
Well, there's no school on Monday.
Yep.
Big surprise. We're not surprised anymore.
It's a teacher's professional learning day for Washoe County. So, yeah. Now, the other areas, I haven't gotten any confirmation they're going to be closed. Unless you got a phone call from them, it's just Washoe County.
Washoe County, no school on Monday.
Yeah.
So, they've been off since December 22nd, and they'll be open again January 10th. That's a bit longer than when I was, my day was, no kidding, December 25 to January 2nd.
Yeah.
Now it's January 10th.
Those breaks. And, the school year is a little bit different, too, because they're doing that hybrid. It's not like a full school year, but it's definitely not the kind of school year we were used to growing up.
Well, Governor Joe has promised unprecedented investment for K through 12 education that he's going to bring up on his State of the State address from Assembly Chambers on January 23rd. And he's going to, there's going to be a big push for supporting school choice. His chief of staff, Ben Kiefer, said details on those are going to come later this month, probably in the State of the State. And he also said state workers will get a pay raise in the new governor's budget. They have to fill, look at this, 24% vacancy rate for state jobs.
Wow.
Currently vacant. And so pay raise, and they're going to come up with a plan by April 1st to simplify the hiring process and fill those jobs. Also put out an order putting capping all the COVID restrictions that the former governor set up.
Well, so he's actually going to undo something that Sisolak did?
Why not?
He's not just going to be a continuation?
And also, all state employees working from home will be back in their offices, they promise, by July 1st.
Which they should have been already.
Well, it, yeah.
Anyway. Well, there's that. Okay, one thing I need to address is with these winter storms coming, folks, please remember, we are going to be your reliable coverage for storm activity and closures and traffic reports and all that good stuff, because with these new storms moving in, all the counties are telling you, be prepared. You know, make sure you have an alternative heat source if you can. Have extra blankets, batteries, you know, flashlights, a hand radio so you can listen to 99.1 or 92.3 in case we do have a power outage. So please, folks, we are going to be with you.
Yeah, I had a lot of delicious expired macaroni and cheese during this time.